Hi guys, it's Caroline Stephen, financial journalist. We have part two of Wall Street legend Victor Sperandio on today's show of Talking Trading. In today's interview, Victor takes us through his economic view of markets around the world. What are the world's political trends? Why are they the key to making money? Why have central banks around the world pushed the envelope so far and created a mirage where not a single price in the world is honest? You know, I've been wanting to interview special guests on macro policy perspective for a while now on Talking Trading. And with Victor Sperandio, we get one of the very best experts in the world. Again, just to reiterate who Victor is a legend of Wall Street. His company, Ragnar Option Corporation, did more volume than any other over-the-counter security option dealer in the world. He's traded on behalf of George Soros and Leon Cooperman. He was featured twice in Barron's magazine as the man of all markets and the ultimate Wall Street pro. In this interview with Victor, I'm telling you, you will grow. Your macro policy mind perspective will expand. So first in the show, let's hear from Louise Bedford in Mindpower, who asks you, do you have a growth mindset?
Chris Tate and I are currently meeting up with a lot of mentorees one-on-one to review their trading plan and to make sure that they're on the right track. It's something that we take very seriously. Just a few words of guidance can make the difference between a person who feels that they can do this and a person who is going to quit. And also some of the methods that people use are plain wrong. To be able to have that specific system guidance is very important. Now, it did remind me, we were sitting in front of a mentoree the other day who said, well, I've learned all that I can learn. If I haven't made it now, then I'll never make it. Now, my mind harked back to that Frank Sinatra song. And it also harked back to the way that my children are experiencing their educational life at their school. They've been learning about a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. Now, that mentoree had a fixed mindset. They believed that they'd capped out. It was the total of everything that they'd put together in their life had led up to that moment, and that they'd never grow anymore. Whereas the opposite would be a growth mindset. Now, this is where you continually love learning, you seek to improve, you know that the upper limit has not been met, and that as long as you continue to grow, then your results will continue to improve. Now, you know what I'm getting at here. Clearly, a growth mindset is the key, and it's been proven over and over again in study after study and anecdote after anecdote. Those who have a fixed mindset are more likely to cheat on tests because they're wound up with their identity of being perfect. They think, hey, I know I'm good. If this test result tells me that I'm not good, then I've got some answering to do. Whereas those with a growth mindset can handle a blow and recover. And what's more, they can handle that blow as ammunition. They use it as a platform upon which to stand to be able to see further. What mindset do you have? Do you think that you have hit the top of your potential and that there's no way for you to grow anymore? Or do you think that there is still learning to be had? There is still a tell me more attitude instead of an I know that attitude in your heart. You see, those that say tell me more instead of I know that are the ones with a growth attitude. And they're the ones who will ultimately live the trader's life.
Sick of being the smartest person in the room? Tell your friends about the Talking Trading podcast and let them come to the party too. TalkingTrading.com.au.
Hi, this is Dr. Barry Burns with Top Dog Trading, and I am a big fan and listen to Talking Trading every episode that comes out. I've subscribed. I'm on there. I'm listening, and I'm loving it. And you should too.
And now here is part two of our interview with Victor Sperandio. Let's talk about some macro policy perspective now. This is a quote from your website in April 2017. We are now at a pivotal moment in financial and political history. In the coming 4 years, we will see a destruction of wealth that the world has never before encountered. The illusory paper fortunes created by the credit bubble will be totally decimated. We've spoken before that at the moment there's a lot of emphasis on the Fed, but very few commentators put emphasis on the social systems and the way the world operates nation by nation. Victor, what are the world's political trends? Why are they the key to the future of returns?
Well, because the key to making money is the system that is set up, the political system that allows you to be successful or not. For example, I'll be dramatic. If you wanted to open a business in North Korea, I don't care what business it is, you're not going to be successful. That's the extreme communist dictatorship that exists in the world today. But if you opened a business in South Korea, if it was a good idea, because they're a free market, mainly political system, you'd be successful. So what's happening is you have to notice that the world is trending towards socialism. This is the European Union. You have an unelected group of EU commissioners, and they determine the laws of 28, now less the England 27, the England is still involved. And then you look at Japan, which has always been a socialized system. India is trying to break away, but it's still there. And look at communist China. Now Xi Jinping just got to be effectively king of the Communist Party. People calling him like he's got power like Mao Zedong, who is a really horrible man as a leader, because he killed 20 million people to accomplish his goals. So, and I'm not saying that about Xi, but he's a very strong, powerful communist. Communism never works. China looks good. It does the right thing in the short run. But there is a day that you can go and he might just confiscate the wealth of everybody. He could. If he wanted to, he could do that. So all I'm saying is you have to focus that the trends of the world have been moving towards socialism, a bad place to invest, generally speaking. Now, exceptions. Brexit happens, but they're still not out of it yet, right? And Theresa May is the wrong person to lead England. But again, just the trends. Trump wins. That's a good thing. But Trump is not a principled, free market, capitalist mentality. He's more a common sense guy. What works, and he's been in business. But let's just say that that's a good thing. If you look around the world, France voted to remain, you know, with a globalist, with Macron, and even Amsterdam or the Netherlands lost with this guy Gitters, whatever his name is, I have to say it to pronounce it. But the point is, the trends look like they were changing, but they didn't. So the world is moving to socialism, and you can't make money under socialism. The markets squeeze you. The governments squeeze you. So that is a very – it's not talked about enough. If the United States didn't have the founding fathers creating the Constitution, the United States wouldn't be the, you know, the superpower. It was the system, freedom, liberty. The ability to allow people to be and create and own private property and not to be overseen by a king or a bureaucracy today. So the political trends are very critical. The central banks are also very important, but they're less important in my view than the social systems of the countries you want to be involved in. Singapore, for example, was a nothing country in 1960. have a very, very free market-minded potential leader that became powerful, Q, and it's a fabulous place to invest. They're growing a little, call it an island, it's a peninsula if you want to call it that. But you see, it depends on what the social system is. And you can think all you want about Fed policy and all of this. The biggest mistake, there's two big mistakes that are involved today. That is that people who have lots of equity, stock, and you know, billionaires, they think money will save them. They understand what I just told you, but they think money will save them. That's wrong. Money is basically paper. And what will happen is, if you understand hyperinflation, money get 50. The rule of thumb by Phil Kagan in hyperinflation happens when you lose 50% of your buying power in a month, in 1 month. So half your net worth gets wiped out in a month. But that's not where it ends. It ends. The first hyperinflation was France in 1789 to 1795. And just to give you a perspective, gold appreciated 288 times, not percent, times. So that would mean today with gold around 1270, it is $330,000 per ounce if that reoccurred. I'm only saying that we're headed, when you talk about this world debt, the world debt is, if you Googled it, is $217 trillion. It's expanding at 12.5% a year since 1971, since we went off the gold standard. So the end game, even though you'll see probably a recession first or a depression, is hyperinflation is the end game. That's the end. That's where the governments throw in the towel and start printing money, and people don't want the paper because it's just paper. It doesn't have any meaning or value other than what it says on the top of the bill. So that's the first major mistake people make. And then the second one is, because the central banks have been so dominant and have pushed the envelope, as they say, they've overdone it, there isn't a price in the world, not one price, that's honest. You don't know what the prices of things are. You own a home, you think you paid $500,000 for it if you live in New York somewhere, and it might be worth $100,000 or it might be worth, in paper money that will be devalued, it might be worth $5 million, but it's not worth $500,000. That's a mirage based on the manipulation of the central banks throughout the world. And I will tell you this, that if you, and I'd be happy to send you a chart on this to prove my point, but if you took from the bottom in 2009 and you put forth the four five major central banks, including the Bank of China, ECB, Fed, Bank of Japan, and Bank of England, you overlay that to the QE and the buying of providing of credit that they offered, you'd see an identical line over line with the S&P 500. It's picture perfect. It is picture perfect. So I'll send you that just for, but the key is that when that ends, the game ends with the central banks. So what's been created here, this all money is loaned into existence, by the way. I don't know if you've heard that expression, but between 61 and 08, the average interest rate was 6%, exact 5.99. And when I say average, I'm taking a 30-year coupon to a 30-day treasury bill. And you have to picture that right now, if you looked at the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office projections, they project a $30 trillion deficit in the year 2027, 10 years. Now, that's without the tax cut of Trump, that's without his infrastructure spending. It's without healthcare changes. That's what's projected. It'll be greater, and that's without a recession. So that's ridiculous. Then there's also $10 trillion off balance sheet as of today, which they don't count because it's things like Amtrak and post office and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They don't count that as debt. So the key is that all this debt, if you got to a 6% inflation rate, a 6% interest rate, you would literally take all the money we collect in taxes today in the U.S., which is about $1.9 trillion, and it would be wiped out in interest, just all taxes. Now, in 10 years, taxes are supposed to go up, but the bottom line is you can see that the system is unsustainable. So unfortunately, that's why I made that commentary, because with the creation of this debt at some point unsustainable with low interest rates that are at 5,000-year lows. 5,000 years. I mean, that's a long time. So this is all a mirage. So again, this is where you have to, instead of getting caught up with making money in markets going up day after day, they're not sustainable, and you're buying hype, you're buying air. So there's no fundamentals to it. So that's why I made that statement.
So what's going to burst the bubble?
Well, there's two things in my book, but I can't see that. Usually I've been very good at predicting exact events, but in this case, it's impossible. Because the central banks are manipulating the world's market, so there is no market. But it would be a geopolitical event that is unknown. Could be the U.S. and China at odds because of these islands. It could be Israel and Iran at war. It could be the U.S. and North Korea. It's some geopolitical event. But the other most likely, more likely event is a bankruptcy of a major pension plan. If you look at the numbers on Illinois, New Jersey, California counties, not necessarily the state, but the counties in California, many of them are bankrupt. And so the key is going to be the pension plans are going to fail. And most likely is Chicago, or Illinois. But the key is it's going to be where if the government wants to save them, it's going to be a lot. It has to take time. And it's not going to be a bank. See, they're all looking at the banks. This is like 9/11. You know, you're looking for box cutters, and they eliminated the box cutters to get you on a plane. Well, it's not going to be a Lehman Brothers. It's not going to be a bank. It's going to be a pension fund, and they're all underwater tremendously. So it's going to be a pension plan that fails, and then Congress is going to have a session, and they're going to say, well, do we want to bail out Chicago or Illinois? You know, and there's going to be politics involved, and the markets will do just what they did in 2008. So it's going to – that, to me, is the more likely outcome.
What do you think the future of the EU is?
Toast. It's gone. It will never last. It will have to break up. Now, you've been going 9 years where the world has been technically in recovery. But you see, here's the process. You go back in time in history, just like the founding fathers did when they created the Constitution. There is no country that can last under a kingdom or under a communist nation. They can't. Socialism, it will eat its own. It will vote to give itself money, meaning give the people money for votes, and it will eat itself alive. So the founding fathers researched this, and that's why they came up with the system they did. But the bottom line is the EU is nothing but a socialized system that can never survive. And, you can't have the southern part of Italy equating with industrial Germany, right? They're not the same. They're different. So it will, in my view, the next major recession you will see, or even before, you will see the EU break up.
Let's talk about Crashmaker.
Crashmaker was a book, one of the books. It's a novel.
Can I read the first sentence of the blurb? Because it's quite stunning in what it says.
Sure.
Here we go. In Crashmaker, we sail the high seas of global finance and economics with ports of call in constitutional and natural law, monetary history and policy, environmental wackos, conspiracy theories, and the role of morality in everyday life. Tell us about your book.
Okay, well, the villain in this case is the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. And the concept, and this was my plot, I have help in writing it, meaning I have a friend who helped me write it, who is an extremely brilliant man. And his nom de plume is not correct. He's a Supreme Court lawyer. So he didn't want to put his name on there. So his name is Edwin Vieira. That's my associate. But the key to the plot was that what Greenspan was doing, and he was brought up by Ayn Rand, right? He was a protege. And he knows everything that, you know, was proper to do, and yet he wanted power. So he changed his stripes and used his knowledge, and he's a brilliant man, to basically gain the power to become and maintain his Fed chairman role instead of doing what I would call the right thing and exposing the world for what it is. But he chose power lust. So who's the villain is the chairman of the Fed. And it was Alan Stilwell was the character in the book. But the key was to show that what happens to you, what happens to a, if you will, a nation, if you put a very brilliant man or woman in charge of the Fed, but they are corrupted, they are out for the power, and they are evil, but you don't know that because they're so much smarter than the average person. They're abusing that person by manipulating them. So the book showed this traitor who created using a woman, and she was out for revenge. She had a reason for trying to get Alan Stilwell because of he did some bad things to her sister. The key was that she was really the brains. It was a woman was the heroine. And she manipulated Stilwell in this case to raise rates at a time when the trader set up for a crash. And I give all these details of what it's a hedge trade that gets unwound, and it causes they make $60 billion. And basically, it's a manipulation, but the woman used the chairman his greed to and his power lust plus his sexual desire for this woman to get taken, if you will. So that's the theme of the book. It's a book about if you put the wrong person in charge of the most powerful organization in the world, which is the chairman of the Fed, and they're abusive. See, the Constitution is not designed, the U.S. Constitution, is designed for this kind of person. Checks and balances. There was no Fed allowed in the Constitution. That happened in 1913, not 1789 when everything was ratified and the Constitution was officially written in 1887. So the bottom line is it caused chaos because one person was in charge of the world's money supply. And that, who was a bad guy.
Final three pieces of advice for traders today.
Well, here's the observation I would make. First of all, the trends are still up. So if you trade, you trade the upside. There is no making money by trading the downside. However, the fundamentals cannot have more risk than they have today. So it's a very dangerous time. And what I would do, a trader can make money. You can buy in the morning and sell at night, and you go home flat. And basically, that's the safest thing you can do. Now, that's trading. That's not investing. I would be an investor in gold. Because as I said, when everything else loses, gold wins in silver. So I'm not a trader in gold or silver. I'm an investor, but I'm a trader when it comes to, and I recommend only trading in stocks, because this is just, it's a bubble that compares to the tulip bulb. And let me just mention the last point here, if that's three things, is that the markets will not top, they will end. So you will not be able to see, you know, in the fancy lingo of head and shoulders, rounding tops, double tops. You won't see that. The market's not going to give anybody the opportunity to unload the stocks he bought 5 years ago, 10 years, 6 years ago. It's going to, one day you'll come in and it'll be like the 87 crash. It'll open down and go straight down from there. That's the way this will end.
What are you doing with your time now?
Well, I watch the markets every day, and I occasionally do a trade, but that's basically, you know, and I run a company, and we have a lot of derivatives in what we do and commodities, so, you know, I still run a company, but I wouldn't call it work as you would, you know, come to work, and I mean, this is more, it works by itself, and there's not much even to manage, believe it or not, except people. And it basically, I'm waiting for an event that causes things to change. And things right now are humdrum because there has been no change for, you know, quite a while.
And just to nail this down, I should have asked you this at the beginning of the interview, but your Italian background?
Well, my father was a Sicilian, yes, Italian. My mother was Hungarian.
And where did you grow up? What neighborhood?
In Jackson Heights, Queens, New York, not far from where Donald Trump lived.
Victor Sperandio, I could ask you questions all day, but I know you're a very busy man. Thank you so much for your time coming on to Talking Trading.
Well, thank you, Karen. It's been a pleasure meeting you.
You've been listening to TalkingTrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any of the information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.